people were in missions, we generally say they were under the Act, which means basically they were prisoners on missions. The missions weren't open at that stage. People referred to themselves as inmates, like it's a prison, and in real sense it was a prison. They weren't allowed to move. So government controlled all their lives, and part of it was the wages they earned, you know, a fair percentage of it was confiscated and managed for them. Various estimates of how much money would be involved in today's dollars, you know, I've heard estimates of up to $500 million were taken off people, and either managed in the missions by mission managers or in the towns by what we call the protectors of Aborigines. And they were generally police officers, and have no compunction in saying I'm pretty sure lots of those police officers raided those accounts for their own use. And even apart from that, you know, women would have to go to someone like that to even just get permission to buy baby clothes or baby gear, you know, that sort of stuff. And, you know, you had these people saying, we don't believe you need that. So it was taking away all the control our people had over their lives, particularly around, you know, the wages they earned. So people like my mum and my aunties were sent out from Moorabbinda as domestics to work on cattle properties, and they had their money and wages managed as well. So it's a really sad history in Queensland about this stolen wages, and I think part of the recommendations that we put up was to make sure the story is told and we never forget what happened in Queensland. While we have to move on from that era, but we can never forget what happened.
So I was looking at the paperwork of the actual application. There's like a work agreement that was filled in by someone else. I read Auntie Leslie Williams' book, It's Not Just Black and White, yeah. And she talks about how she was just handed an envelope and had to give it to the person. She had no idea what the envelope had in it. That envelope was about her life and you know, her being, yep, her life being completely controlled and not having any understanding what it was about.
Oh, absolutely. And in those days, they actually thought that Aboriginal people hadn't evolved enough to manage money, you know, like, and it was an outrageous proposition. And lots of our people suffered of that. And I've got to say, there's a dozen of us on the task force, and I think we all come away from our consultations fairly traumatised by the stories we were told, because there wouldn't have been a person on the panel on the task force who either directly or indirectly affected by those policies. And to hear people like my auntie in Rockhampton talk about being, you know, how she was treated as a 12-year-old was absolutely heartbreaking. And I really think, and one of our recommendations to government at the end of the day, we put interim recommendations in before Christmas, is I don't think we can go through this process again, because it actually traumatises people reliving those old memories. You know, there were lots of people breaking down and crying during the consultations because I was simply going through it again.
Yeah.
So I think we've got an opportunity here now to put the draw a line in the sand and give people some closure on this. And I think to go back out and do another consultation on this would be almost creating another injustice. So we hope by the time we put our final report in that we actually have a... not only how to distribute the $21 million, but also a range of other things we're calling acts of reconciliation that the government can put in place to, one, acknowledge what happened, but two, to make sure it never happens again.
Who can apply for reparation, and what is the application process?
I'll go back. The first thing that's going to happen out of the scheme started in 2002, there's about just under 8,000 people paid. So people who were born before 1952 ended up getting paid $7,000, and people born between 1952 and the end of 1956 were paid $3,500. So there's a whole lot of people being paid already. So what we recommended is those people get a top-up out of this $21 million. So those people who were born before 1952 will get a top-up of $2,200, which will bring the total payments to them as $9,200. The people who got paid $3,500 will get $1,100, which will bring the total of their payments to $4,600. So At the moment, there's a process happening to get information out to those 5,000 people just about to actually get their details right. And once we get the details, they don't have to do anything except make sure their details are right, return them to the government, and then they'll get paid whatever amount. So that one step, that's pretty easy. The new applications, well, out of the total applications, there's about 4,000 applications didn't get up. So we're going to go and re-examine all of those and think about a different way of assessing them, and we're going to suggest a panel be formed of eminent Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Queenslanders. If they don't have the absolute proof that they were actually captured under these schemes, that they might be able to provide stat decks and other supporting evidence and might get them across the line. So we're going to do that with the 4,000 applications that were unsuccessful. And then there's, so they don't have to apply, that'll happen automatically. But then we did change the criteria a little bit. We extended it from the end of 1956 to the end of 1959. There's 3 years there that people who weren't eligible before because they may have been too young might get captured. I'm suggesting everyone applies if they think they're entitled to a payment and lets the process run. We haven't got to the point of getting through to the new applications yet. That'll happen pretty soon. But as you can imagine, the priority at the moment was to make sure the people who've already been paid received these top-up payments, particularly really elderly or people who are seriously ill, you know, that they actually get to see some of that money before they pass on. So very soon we'll be able to come back out and talk about the application process. But what it'll be is pretty much similar to what happened before, that you actually put an application in with your date of birth, with as much details and supporting evidence as possible. Now, those new applications, and there could be some people born before 1952 hadn't applied, if someone falls into that category, they'll get the whole 9,200. They haven't been paid before. If they're younger than that, they'll get the 4,600. At the end of the day, everyone who falls into those two categories will have been paid the same amount.